with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Dear woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 75 to 150 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. This is the word of
Amen. Morena whānau, good to be with you. What a great day Palmerston North has put on, and all of you. Been looking forward to this day, and I want to start off just by saying a huge thank you. We have been made extraordinarily welcome. There's been creativity and generosity and work, and just thank you for that. Thank Andrew, for Dan, Karen, and everyone. We've been welcomed with open arms, and so thank you for that. It's exciting to be here. I thought as we opened up, a couple of things to say up front. It's important to note that it's sort of a new season, yet I join. God has been at work, is at work, and will be at work, and through all of you. So I'm joining. It's not a whole big U-turn or anything. And I thought, why don't we start off a couple of things? That you've got your 3 vision statements. We're disciples, we're family, and we're on mission. And my way is, well, I know you're probably wanting to know, well, who is this guy? You know, well, what's he about? And so I get the part, I want to share a little of myself. But I'm also reminded, I love the gospel stories where the 2 Greeks came up to the disciples and they said, "We want to see Jesus." And I think that's a really good starting point. People don't actually want to see me. What they need to see is Jesus. One of my things I'll start from as a commit. I will try to reflect Christ-likeness as best as I can, but actually what we want to know is Jesus. And so my convictions are always, I just want to start off from the word, from the faith that's been handed to us, and to share and compel. And yeah, you'll hear parts of my journey with that as a part of it. Because we were starting off, and I thought, well, boy, discipleship, so much could be said. But I thought, well, I'll preach a sermon that I need to hear every day. And if it's useful for you, well, great. But I'll start off making sure I'm hearing from the Lord and the Lord speaking. And we can speak out of that that good news that I've received. And so discipleship, I don't want to say discipleship, I think, one of the cores to it, at its heart, so much of discipleship is about remembering. So I'm going to share a story today about good news and our need to remember, and that being such a core part of discipleship. See, throughout my life, I've always struggled with a sense of not measuring up, just a sense of inadequacy. Even when I did well, it felt like I was just never enough. And for years, sadly, I'd project that onto my faith or Christianity. So I was following Jesus, and discipleship was just another way not to be good enough, just another way not to measure up. And it's a really crushing and condemning belief in a narrative. I love this story from John's Gospel, and I wanted to share it this morning And it's a story that I need to remember every day, and I think you probably need to remember every day as well. So let's look at it together, shall we? On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee. And they ran out of wine. Now, context helps here. A Jewish wedding wasn't like the ones that we know. They lasted for 7 days, a whole week. And probably all of the town would have been invited. Cana was just small, so everyone would have been there. The important people would have been there. And it was a time of feasting and banqueting and great joy. And it's actually a beautiful picture of God's kingdom, of giving your best and offering hospitality to your guests. And so to run out of wine during a wedding was a cause of enormous shame. To run out of wine was a disgrace, and it brought dishonor. It was so bad that there was even a possibility of legal action and being dragged before the courts. This is a story about not measuring up. It's a story about a young couple's shame and failure about to be exposed publicly in front of family and friends. Maybe they're a whole community. It's a story of personal shortcoming. Wonder if you've ever experienced that. I think we all know what it's like to run out of wine. It's receiving the disappointing exam result, being asked at the dinner table how you went. It's having your credit card declined at the supermarket counter while others look on. It's the spouse whose porn addiction's been discovered. It's the mistake at work